Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents, by parents, brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. Today we'll be talking about a really serious subject, one I think that's really important. Did you know that there are about 2.7 million students being bullied each year? About 1 in 7 students in grades kindergarten through 12th grade is either a bully or has been a victim of bullying. That's a shocking statistic. But as parents, we know how common it is. In fact, bullying has become such a big problem that celebrities like Lady Gaga have teamed up with Harvard University to tackle the issue. And that's our topic for today. Today to talk with me on the subject are Geeta Narayanan and Rajat Maheshwari. Geeta is a marriage and family therapist intern in San Jose. And Rajat is a junior in American high school in Fremont. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Geeta, the old definition of bullying, or at least the way we understood it, is in the schoolyard or outside of school, a very physical action where the bully is threatening the child physically. But I think now the definition, or the way we understand it, is really expanded quite a bit to include a lot of kinds of bullying that may not be immediately visible to the commonly.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
How many kinds of bullying are there? What would be classified as bullying?
See, bullying is something very deliberate. It's a behavior pattern. It is done mainly to harm others and humiliate others.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, it used to be just physical bully, which is just shoving and pushing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, over the years, it's also been, you know, social bullying,
mm-hmm.
verbal bullying,
mm-hmm.
and also secret bullying.
Okay. And what do you mean by secret bullying?
See, secret bullying is something that where a person acts as a friend.
Oh. Okay.
So, but then what happens is the person also goes, but the person will not include that person. Let's say if A and B are friends, for
mm-hmm.
example.
Mm-hmm.
So they will have play dates. They will just go for all the stuff. But when it comes to inviting that person for special occasion, that person will feel alienated.
Or is that really defined as bullying?
Yeah.
That's a really, it feels like a really broad definition.
It is a broad definition. Mm-hmm. I understand that, you know, every child has a different interest. Every child is unique and every child is different.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't want to openly accept that person is your friend. So that is like a secret, you know, so that the other person is confused. So on one hand, you're playing with me, you're saying that I'm your friend.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you're not admitting before everybody that I'm your friend.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? It's basically because you don't want everybody to know that I'm your friend. You don't want everybody to know that both of us are having a good time. You know, that kind of confused message.
I see. That's very interesting. Rajat, does this strike a chord with you, these kind of actions?
It definitely does. But while things like secret bullying and physical bullying still exist, recently the advent of social media has made bullying even worse in a new form of bullying called cyberbullying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. The anonymity of the internet allows people to say things they would never dare say in real life. As such, bullying is even more difficult to eradicate and even more difficult to detect than it was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Hiding behind a username, a bully might never be identified in real life.
Give me an example, Rajat. Give me an example mm-hmm. of cyberbullying that can be done anonymously.
Sure.
Yes, go ahead.
Around 2 years ago, there was a case where a girl, okay, roughly the age of 12 or 13, was on the internet, and she started chatting with a boy online.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after a while of chatting with this boy, the boy said that he didn't quite like her anymore, and that he thought things would be better if she just killed herself.
Oh, yes, I heard about that case. It was a pretty high-profile mm-hmm. case. And yes, that certainly... one form of bullying, in a sense, you know, that is something really to watch out for in this new age where our kids are going on to chat rooms and websites where we really don't know where they're going and who they're talking to. So, mm-hmm. yes.
The shocking thing about this entire case was that after she hung herself, she committed suicide, actually, and they tried to find out who was the boy. It turned out that he wasn't even really a kid. The boy,
mm-hmm.
quotation marks, was actually just the mother mm-hmm. of a girl who really didn't like the girl who was being talked to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, in reality, there was never even a person like this. And being able to do this kind of thing anonymously is something you could never pull off in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But doing this on the internet is very simple and very dangerous.
But given, you know, cyberbullying is such an important thing, I want to mm-hmm. sort of take that up separately later in the show. But as a parent, the thing that worries me the most is that there is a significant amount of time that the child is not where I can see him or her, my child. So it's very hard for me to figure out whether something is going on. Mm-hmm. And here's where I'd like both of your input, which is, how can a parent tell that there is something going on, that the child is being bullied? There's something going on.
Where a child is being bullied?
Is being bullied.
Okay.
Yes.
So typically, some of the symptoms, you know, there are a lot of symptoms, which children actually, they would come home, you know, with their clothes damaged or ripped off in some situation.
And that's easy. That's the
exactly,
easy part.
That visible
right?
thing.
So as I was saying, a physical thing is easy to spot.
Exactly.
If your child has torn clothes or has a bruise,
yes.
you can immediately sense it.
Yes.
But as Rajat has been talking, there's so many subtler forms of
yes.
bullying. And as you yourself pointed out, there's social bullying, which is really subtle,
yeah.
which is by bullying by exclusion.
Right.
How does the parent sort of exercise that judgment between this is normal childhood interaction and this is bullying? How do you draw that line?
See, when a child comes home, especially I'm talking about a child who is being bullied, the child will actually lose the appetite, the child will not do the homework, the child will show a lot of other symptoms other than just, you know, ripped out clothes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes in some situations when they come home, say, I didn't eat my lunch, I don't feel like talking to you,
mm-hmm.
or they will say, I'm really hungry today because somebody must have stolen the lunch. This is all I'm talking about the elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
But in middle and high school, things are very different.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm pretty sure, you know, Rajat may relate to this more, is where people do all these subtle thing by social bullying, which is like what I mean by like alienating
mm-hmm.
and isolating, not including, those kind of things. The child will, or the teen, as a parent you would know, you know, generally I know this child who comes home, you know, does his work or her work and comes and says how things are and then gets back and does his own thing or her own thing.
So change in normal behavior should be the red flag.
That should be the red flag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it could be stress too, because especially the high schoolers, they do a lot of things these days.
I mean, you're saying teenagers not talking to me, but that's teenagers
yeah.
for you, right? That's pretty normal
exactly.
behavior.
So that is why you should, I would just say give it a pattern, maybe, you know, few days and see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this normal for my child to just not completely shut off, not telling me what's going on? And you just say, hey, you know what? I just want to make sure you're safe. Sometimes the teenagers might find parent, you know, intruding as very invading their privacy and all that. But in that case, you just say, hey, you know, I just want to make sure that you're safe. You know, I might come across a paranoid mom, but that's what I am. The job is given to me that
right.
I am supposed to keep you safe.
Absolutely. Rajat, what do you feel? I mean, is this an appropriate thing for a parent to say? How would you as a teenager respond to your parents saying, is everything okay? What's going on?
I'm fully agreed with Geeta. That's exactly how a parent should approach a child. But the one important thing to do is never to assume anything out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
After asking a question, make sure that the answer isn't adequate to keep pressing on.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's any personality change, please don't assume that it's just part of growing up.
Mm-hmm.
It very well might not be.
Mm-hmm.
And if the parent hits a wall when it comes to getting an answer from the child, are there other resources available to them to find out whether the child is being bullied? Or if I as a parent think there is a problem, but my child is not in a position to articulate the problem, but I do want to help,
mm-hmm.
is there something I can do?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, another place your child spends most of the day is at school.
Mm-hmm.
So you would go and talk to the teacher. I know in middle school and high school, the student, they don't get to stay with one teacher.
Right.
Because they move from room to room. But you would actually go to talk to the teacher, you know, whichever teacher the child has spoken to you before. Hey, you know, this teacher is very fun. The teacher teaches like he or she connects with me more than just the subject kind of a thing. So you would talk to the teacher. Have you noticed anything in the classroom? Or you would go and talk to maybe any of our sports coaches. Hey, you
that
know,
would be, yeah,
yeah sports coaches,
idea.
You know, in the school, do you see any change? How is she in school? Or if you know of any his or her friends, the students, and then they talk to the friends and say, hey, I see something going on. I just want to make sure he or she is safe. You know, you just want to, that's all. And then later on, you tell your a teenage daughter or son, I'm not necessarily finding out what you're doing. It's just I want to make sure that
everything is okay.
Everything, you're safe.
You're safe.
Because that's that way, you know, because sometimes...
Does it make sense actually to have a conversation with them about bullying?
Yeah. It is important because it is just like how when a teen goes to a field trip or when your elementary child goes for a field trip, you tell them the safety rules. Right. Or before they cross the road, you tell them, hey, you know, wait for the green signal and then you cross the road. As and when they grow older, we just assume because they're physically taller than you that they know everything. Mm-hmm. They don't know a lot of things.
Right.
You know, as adults, we don't know a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it's a growing process. As long as we keep that communication open with the student, mm-hmm. I mean, with your own child or with your son or daughter, mm-hmm. You know, it's a growing process. As long as we do that, it should be okay.
Did you have something to add, Raja, in terms of, you know, parents going and digging up a little bit with the environment around? Is it a conversation you think that you'd be comfortable having with your parents about if they came to you and said, here's what bullying is? And just like we talk to kids about saying, don't, you know, if... Stranger contact is one of the, another, you know, important discussion, which also I'm not sure all of us are having with our children. But, you know, what to do if a stranger approaches you? What is appropriate? What is not appropriate? Similarly, if the parent says, if somebody is doing ABC, this is bullying. So you need to be aware of it and you need to be aware that there are resources available to you. So is that, would that be an appropriate conversation to have?
That would definitely be an appropriate conversation, but I'm not sure it would necessarily help because kids being bullied might not take too kindly to anyone knowing about it or...
That's a really good point because you're ashamed of the fact
right.
too. So in that sense, what would you, you know, what would you, as a kid who has seen this happen and who is in the thick of it, what would your advice be?
That's a difficult situation, really. The main thing I can say is keep talking. Don't mm-hmm. let the situation just go. Keep pressing on, because even if your child doesn't like it, he needs to know it.
Yeah, and if Geeta, how would one create a safe space for the child to be able to communicate that there is something going on without feeling the shame? Mm-hmm. How do we remove the stigma and the shame of being bullied?
See, a lot of things at home, the atmosphere that we create at home is very safe, as safe as it can be. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, that doesn't mean the child can get to do whatever he or she wants. That's not what I'm saying. There has to be some limits and boundaries, which means, for example, when it comes to teen, so make sure that you keep your laptop or computer in a general place, mm-hmm. you know, in a dining room or a family room. In some situations, yes, they may have to go and do their own work, taking the computer with them, but the trust has to develop.
Mm-hmm.
The trust doesn't...
You have to earn. You
yeah,
have to earn it.
The mm-hmm. earning is important. At the same time, not necessarily, parent necessarily not micromanaging it. Okay, what are you doing? Mm. Every 5 minutes knocking at the door, okay, are you making sure you're doing a project?
Mm.
That is not trusting too.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a balance. So that
tough.
Means, yeah, yeah, it's tough mm-hmm. because that means the house can be as, it doesn't have to be smothering all the time. That's
right.
the term I'm
right.
trying to use.
Right.
There has to be a balance where it is not overly anxious. At the same time, like he says, not completely hands off. Because the child needs you no matter what age.
Right.
Because this is a resource. Just like how you're preparing a child to cross the road when the light is green, we have to make sure we are preparing them for life.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they are teen doesn't mean they know it all. It's very difficult these days, especially with cyberbullying. It's harder for a child to manage and cope with stress. This is a part of growing up,
mm-hmm.
and I think this is a skill that as parents that we can just help them develop,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully when they just, you know, launch off when they're 17 and 18, they're fully equipped, just like how
right.
they're equipped with other subjects.
Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit more about the cultural aspects of bullying that's specific to the Indian community. Later on in the show, we're going to be talking to a special guest who's here to talk about how she was a bully when she was growing up and how bullying can actually damage the child who's bullying as well, not just the victim, and what the parents can do to help the child under that circumstance. Welcome back. back to Parent Talk. I'm your host, Vidya, and today we're talking about the very important subject of bullying. With me in the studio today are therapist intern Geeta and student Rajat. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about how parents can be sensitive to the fact of the fact that the child is being bullied, and what the fact that parents need to have this conversation with their children about bullying, just like they have the conversation with their children about many other important subjects, so that the child can be prepared when something like that happens. There's an easy recognition that, yes, something different is happening, something inappropriate is happening, and it's something that should be reported to an adult that they can confide in. As always, this is a live show. Our number is 510-770-1550, 510-770-1550. And you can call us anytime to take advantage of our experts and to share your thoughts. In this segment, we're going to talk about how we culturally may be more at risk for bullying, and how culturally we may be approaching this subject. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about, you know, in our cultural understanding of bullying. Because I think many of us have grown up in a fairly, I'd like to say, unregulated environment as children, mm-hmm. especially in India. We have a caller on the line. Let's first go to the call. Welcome to Parent Talk. Hello?
Yeah, hi.
May I know who's calling?
Yeah, hi. My name is Mr. Singh.
Hello, Mr. Singh. Yes, what did you have to share?
Yeah, thank you very much. Actually, I was listening to your show for quite some time, like 10-15 minutes, I should say. And actually, I have an 8-year-old son, and we shifted from India recently. And my son is quite a brilliant student, right, who studied, who scored well all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the time we shifted is around 6 months now. And he is struggling a little, either mm-hmm. due to the culture and because of the language.
Mm-hmm.
And though his English is good,
mm-hmm.
but quite some time while I was listening to around the bullying, right, so he's not eating his lunch, and every day he's giving the reason, like his lunch is somebody pushed him from behind, and his you know, the mm-hmm. gravy item was fell down, and he couldn't eat his lunch, and he's become shy and shy every day, though he was very, very talkative guy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
At home he's normal. In the morning he became shy. At the end of the school he became little shy. But once he's back at school and back from school, he is enjoying the time.
Geeta, so, this sounds like a classic, you know, symptom of something happening at school,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So what happened? Yeah, there's a little more to add. So last week we came to know that two boys in his school were throwing him to a girls' toilet.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, and then we complained at school, and that school took the immediate action, and
mm-hmm.
those two students were actually moved from the suspended from the school for one day.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, he's a little better, but again, from the last 1 week, he's not eating his lunch. So whenever we are asking, he's telling, "No, I will eat tomorrow, Papa, but today I couldn't eat because somebody was pushed me from behind," and something like that. So I'm not.
I think
the story has not ended yet. I think there is something in behind going on.
Just time, let me get Geeta on the line to address this. That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So my question here is very simple. I don't know how to approach it, because if you're going to school back and back with complaints, then they feel bad about me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a very talkative guy, and the school like me because I'm also part of the PTAs. But I don't want to create a situation where they start hating us because we always complained about the school or guys around him.
Okay.
So I just want to know the approach.
Yeah, so Wonderful. Actually, this is a really very classic example, Mr. Singh. And I would like to tell you that if you can, I think you already talked to the school teachers and principal, and I do agree, if you keep going back and forth, you don't want to be that very, okay, here Mr. Singh again comes with a complaint kind of a feeling. So I think, again, you know, not talking to the teacher on a daily basis in terms of, I don't know if you have already done this, you know, how is he in the class? Like, how is he in the subject? And how is he with the work? That is one. And also, how is he in the yard? In the sense, when he's playing during recess time and lunch time, does he have any friends? And also, if you think that if he comes home and says or talks about anybody, in the sense, any boy or girl that he likes that he wants to have play date, and see if he can set up any play date so that he feels there is some connection. Because a child needs to look forward to going to school other than just studying for math and science, because he's only 8 years. All of us want that social connection, no matter where we go, right? So I think it's better that you just tell the child, find out if he has any friend that he wants to have a play date. You can just start the play date in the park, and then after that you can bring the child home. Just making like a slow progression.
So he has allies at school.
Yeah,
he has friends at school.
He has friends. And I think as parents, you can facilitate that. And also probably talk to the teacher and see, hey, you know what? Is there any way you can just sign a task for my child that he can do every day so that others can see? It could be doing some chore around the class so that every child will know, oh, you know, this boy does this. And the child will also feel, oh, the teacher feels making me a part of doing something. And that is one thing. And another thing is also talk to your child and say, you know, we just moved in 6 months ago and this is a new thing to all of us. Just normalizing the situation. Because sometimes what we do is we are so, as parents, want to go and fix the child's problem, we forget to talk to the child and tell the child that whatever the child is going through is normal. He's not somebody, you don't want to make him sound like he's a black sheep or anything like that, right? You basically tell him that whatever feelings he's going through, whatever frustration he's going through is absolutely normal, and we will get through it. You can tell the child that, you know, as parents, we are trying our best. We'll make sure that we take care of it.
I have another question and comment, I guess, is that on the playground, and I suspect a lot of these activities happen during recess, right? Because that's when the teacher is not supervising it. On the playground, I know my children have someone called a yard duty. They're not necessarily sensitized to maybe looking out for your child. And does it make sense to contact those people and say, can you just keep an eye on my... You have an eye in the school on your behalf.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you think that's a good idea?
Definitely. Right. Because especially with a child who has gone through already a lot, you know, with a transition like this, when you are eight years old, coming to a different cultural setup and asking you to get through the social, that's a lot to expect from a child. Because
I think we have, because I work from home, so I drop him and pick up, and while picking him back up, I normally speak to teacher every day so that I should know where he is. Mm-hmm. But one thing, you touched it very rightly. In elementary school, during recess time, what happens that the people who take care of the kids, those are not sufficient in numbers to take care. So that is one good thing I can try, like talking to them to keep an eye. Because rest of the things we have tried. Because kids are very open to their parents, right? So the time he just sit in the car, he talk, Papa, this is what happened today. So I ask, okay, did somebody trouble you? He told no. But if somebody is troubling him, he tells. But I'm thinking, like, because of the last week complaint, he may not openly tell. So that is one thing. But that's a good idea to tell the people during the recess time, because the teachers are not around. So one guy or two guys are taking care of hundreds of students.
And actually, Mr. Singh, I really, really like Geeta's idea of enlisting another child in the school to be, you know, sort of developing a friendship with another child in the school, because I feel that then he's not alone.
Yeah.
Then there is somebody with him at recess who is on his side, and then you have one more person to sort of talk to if something is going wrong and say, hey, did you see what happened? And, you know, and cultivate that friendship outside of school.
Yeah.
I think that's a very successful strategy.
That is also important, right? That is also, a child needs to also go to an adult if there is a problem, because at the same time, a child also needs to address to the peer too if there is a problem, you know.
Right.
Because it has to be, I think that experience is important growing up too.
Thank you for the call. We have a lot to cover, so I'm just going to go along with this.
Thank you very much for valuable suggestions. Thank you very much. much.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. What I was getting to, and I guess this is a good segue into the cultural aspects. You know, we certainly, as immigrants coming from another country, we bring some, especially food, you know, you may get bullied because you bring parathas to school instead of the sandwiches.
Yeah.
And that may be subtle, it may be overt, it may be, as he says, putting a head in the toilet, it may be throwing the food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are a little bit more at risk because we are a little different.
Yeah.
And difference is where, I guess, bullying starts, mm-hmm. right? It's about power, but it's also about pointing out, isolating the difference,
yeah.
right? But I want to address another aspect of it. Is that as going back to my earlier point, that we grew up in a fairly unregulated environment in India. So our first natural response to either a child being aggressive, or if the child is aggressive, then our first natural response is to say, "Bachcha hai, he'll grow out of it," mm-hmm. you know, and we consider these are good qualities because aage jaake he will be somebody, right? So it's, and if the child is being bullied, then thing is, go fight, mm-hmm. go fight for yourself, you know. Not perhaps realizing that not everybody can do that, and maybe that's not the best approach to it.
Yeah.
So would you say that there is a cultural component in our approach to this subject?
I think so. I think there is definitely, because you know, culturally we are who we are depending on, like you said, depending on how our environment is shaping us who we are, right? I mean, mm-hmm. with whatever reason, everybody went through our own, you know, shoving and pushing and, you know, being teased upon with hair and whatever it is. And I know growing up that I was not very athletic oriented. So I was definitely teased upon that.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, it's very unfair. But things have, you know, like Rajat had pointed out, these days, cyberbullying has become so huge
mm-hmm.
that people have no control on that. So you're actually preparing, you have to kind of prepare your child for just not the cultural component, but the cultural component of also the other ways of bullying.
Right.
Now, the
right.
culture, when you talk about cultural component, yes, there is. You know, sometimes even now when we come home and child, sometimes we feel, oh my God, she's just complaining too much. Every day she's complaining too much.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's like, or, you know, like you said, you're only 5 years old, so probably she'll grow out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably he'll grow out of it.
Right.
It's just
right.
the pattern as a parent, you know, how much of it she complains in a week. The last 2 weeks, how many times she's complaining? You know, that's the how you see.
You certainly don't want to shut off that.
Exactly.
That line of
that
communication.
That coming of communication,
yeah.
right?
right?
So
right.
it's like, or every time you advise, you say, okay, Amma, please don't keep advising all the time because I know what I'm doing. You know,
right.
that happens as and when they grow older.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, because they only know what it is like to be in that situation. You and I are just hearing only from one source. I always tell the parents, say, you know, you get to hear only from one source, from your child. Do you ever get to hear from the other child too? Let's see if the other child is sitting in the room. What would the child see, what his or her experience was?
That's so true. You know, at this point, I really want to talk about cyberbullying because it seems to be something that there is, I think, enough awareness and enough fear among children, among possibly physical bullies, to not maybe make physical over justice. Because now, as Rajat pointed out, there are anonymous ways of mm-hmm. doing this. And you can form cliques on the web. You can form exclusionary groups which leave people out. You can attack as a group on the web. You know, there are so many things you can do virtually that mm-hmm. I think were not possible when certainly we were growing up. But here's the dilemma. I mean, it's really hard for a parent to find out that it's going on. I think, as you said, yes, there are some signals, the child is sad. But especially for teenagers, who they're not going to talk to you about it, and they're not going to let you in on their Facebook sites or on their Gmails or whatever they're using. So how much intrusion can the parent I think legitimately expect to be doing, and how much can they say, I want to supervise what you're doing a little bit. I want to know what's going on. Would that be the best way? So Rajat, do you want to take that question?
Well, it's extremely difficult to monitor your child in these situations. And a lot of times it might even be impossible, actually. But
so what do you do? I mean, here's the dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
You as a parent are concerned, or at least you want to be sure that your child is not being cyberbullied. Sometimes I think as a parent, you get a sense of whether your child is the aggressor or the person who is more likely to be victimized, right? A
right.
softer personality, a gentler personality. So you want to be sure that you want to protect your child. As a parent, what can I do? What
well,
is acceptable, and how do I do it, rather? How do I be sensitive to that?
Well, the first thing I recommend is that you become your child's Facebook friend.
Yes. Most kids, would you be okay with it?
It's not an intrusive thing to do, and if you have a good relationship with your child, they should be fine with it. Asking to go on their profile and see how things are going probably would be too intrusive, mm-hmm. but making your own and just becoming their friend and keeping an eye occasionally without commenting, that's fine.
That's a smart thing to do. Geeta, what are your thoughts?
I think so. It's nice to be on the Facebook friend to just actually see what's going on. And, but I don't, you know, in terms of, but I don't think you would be, like he said, you know, you don't want to be completely on top of their head, like helicoptering too. Because after 17 years, when they graduate high school and go, you're not going to be there. They have to be on their own. They have to be reliant. They have to be resourceful and independent and make a good choice. So I think as a practice, it's better they're able to do a little bit of managing this on their own and a little bit of also see where you are as a parent. So it's better you have that communication with your child. Hey, I'm just doing to make sure you're safe. I mean, like you said, you don't necessarily have to go and comment on anything.
But Facebook is, in that sense, a little more non-anonymous. People do have their avatars and they do have their profiles. So in a sense, it's a little better. Mm-hmm. I think we're talking about chat rooms and stuff mm-hmm. that example that you gave earlier, Rajat, is a chat room. And what was the child doing on a chat room? Why was the child there? Is it the sort of thing that you really can't control at that point, but you want to do it much younger?
Yeah.
Where you have the conversation with them saying mm-hmm. that, again, the inappropriate behavior conversation. Yes.
Facebook might not be quite as open as it might seem at first, because you can make an account for anyone, put in anyone's name with anyone's picture, okay, and claim you're them.
A child is going to make the friend, right?
Right.
Accept the friend request. Maybe that's another conversation mm-hmm. to have. Don't accept anybody you don't know, recognize.
Another kind of bullying I found out about a few months ago was when a friend of mine who didn't have a Facebook, someone else, no one knows who, okay, made a Facebook for her and then added people and started making statuses, which she wouldn't say.
And that's something really hard to catch mm-hmm. and correct. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't even be aware of stuff that's going on like that. So I guess this requires certain hypervigilance in a very careful landmine treading.
It's like walking on eggshells.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is tough.
I think what I'm learning from you two is that by that time, it's too late. You might as well have the conversation way ahead of time about bullying and develop that bond with your child so that as they become teenagers, your presence doesn't feel
over-anxious.
We do have to look at this from the point of view of the bully also, and we are very lucky today that we are going to be able to talk to a guest who can do that. She used to be a bully, but now she learned that was happening, and she fixed it. And I think we can learn some very inspirational things from her. Let's get in touch with Mary Gilder. We've had a very interesting conversation so far, but we've been talking about the effects of bullying on the victims. Now, to talk with us about the effect of bullying on the bully itself is Mary Gilder. Welcome, Mary.
Welcome, Vidya. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Thank you for being here. Now, during my research, I learned that people who are bullies also suffer a lot as adults. They are at greater risk for depression, anxiety. They're likely to engage in other dangerous behaviors. So when I heard about you and how you used to be a bully, but you've turned your life around, I thought it was really important to talk to you about your life and how you managed to turn things around. So can you share your experience with being a bully?
Well, first let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a licensed social worker and a psychotherapist. I'm also an author and a speaker, but most importantly, as you just stated for today's show, I want the audience to know that I am a proud reformed bully.
Wonderful. I'm sure you have wonderful lessons to share with us.
Yes. Well, first I'll start off by saying, I know you have a lot of questions you want to ask, but first I do want to start off by letting the audience know that my bullying started when I was in the fourth grade, and it was in full force by the fifth grade. Mm-hmm. Now, anyone who crossed me, Vidya, was a target. I was also a bully for hire. I protected others who came to me and told me that they were being bullied. Can you believe that?
Wow, you had quite a little industry going on there in fifth grade.
Now, Now, at the time, you know, I felt no guilt. As a bully, within that moment, I felt no guilt. Because being the bully, it gave me a false sense of power. But however, it was a symptom of something more profound taking place in my life.
Mm-hmm. What do you think that was?
Well, I believe that it was a cry for help. Now, every situation is quite unique.
Mm-hmm.
But however, the commonality is this. If you find joy in intimidating others, there is something going on with you internally that really needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in need of help. I was in need of help. Now during my Red Book interview last April, I came to understand that I was grieving the death of my grandmother. Now, my grandmother, when I was at the age of 10, she was my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly she passed away. I mean, she went to bed one night and never went. The family system, no one checked on me. No one checked to see how I was doing mm-hmm. emotionally. So what I did in turn, I stuffed my pain. And months later, that pain manifested, and I unleashed it onto my peers.
Tell me something, Mary. What form did your bullying take?
Pardon?
What form did your bullying take? What did you do as a bully? What were the actions?
As a bully, you know, I would, hit children. If it came to my attention, now remember, it started at the age of 10. I was in the fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to the fourth grade, I was a model student, but after my grandmother passed, I was enraged, and I had no tolerance. And so if I found out that, you know, someone didn't like me or they had an issue with me, I took care of the situation because now I couldn't control my grandmother's passing. I had no power when it came to that. But darn it, I had power mm-hmm. when it came to how others felt about me.
How did your actions not come to the notice of the adults around you, on in school or at home?
Well, Vidya, that is such a wonderful question. Because as a society, we assume that parents know. We assume that teachers always know. But in my case, that wasn't the situation. I was an honor student. The only issue my teachers had with me is that I love to talk in class. All mm-hmm. of my bullying took place off of the school grounds, across the street from the school, down the street from the school, on my walk to school in the morning. That's when my bullying took place.
So did the people you bullied, did they not complain?
Well, what I'm saying to you is this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my parents had no knowledge because at home I was a model child. No one called because the teachers did not know. They didn't know. Now, in my life right now, there are those like who read the Red Book magazine, and they can't believe that I was a bully. But if they talk to individuals who went to elementary school with me, they have a totally different perspective. They know that I was just terrible, that I was terrible.
Well, how did you overcome this? That's something I really want to know. What changes did you make in your life to change yourself?
Okay. Because, Vidya, there was no one threatening me to be a better person. And I grew up in the 70s, and no one had a problem with you being spanked. You know, so I wasn't being spanked or punished, you know, for my behaviors because mm-hmm. the parents didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Peers didn't tell because a lot of them were scared. And a lot of peers were my friends because I was likable. It's just don't cross me.
Mm.
And so what I did to change my behavior, and I think this is very powerful. By the time I was in the sixth grade and I was, preparing to transition
mm-hmm.
to junior high school,
mm-hmm.
okay, something came to me. I mean, it was just this thought that I had about my life. I became disenfranchised with others liking me out of fear. I would look around and see my peers who were thought of in a positive way
mm-hmm.
due to them genuinely being nice people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted that. And I had to accept the reality that if I was going to take these negative behaviors to the next level, which was junior high school, mm-hmm. I was going to have to up my game because, as you know, in junior high school, you know,
there'd be bigger bullies.
It's different. So either I was going to intensify my game, which is my behavior. So young people know what I'm talking about when I say game, okay? Mm-hmm. Or else I was going to have to make a change. And I looked inward. And I decided that I didn't want to be that way anymore. That
you
I
know,
wanted people
Mary,
to like me mm-hmm. because they genuinely thought I was a good person. So the summer before transitioning into the seventh grade, I worked on myself. I found the power within myself mm-hmm. to change the person that I was into becoming the person I desired to be. So never underestimate a child's will to step up and mm-hmm. be a better person.
But you know something, Mary? Your story is so inspirational, and I have to say that you showed a tremendous amount of maturity and self-awareness in sixth mm-hmm. grade. I wish, you know, our kids are like that. I'm not sure that many of them don't need a little bit of a helping hand from the rest of mm-hmm. us. But your story is just amazing, and I thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your thoughts with us. I really appreciate it. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Geeta, in her case, we had, I want to mention 2 points there. One is that she was bullying, but people were not reporting it because they were scared. Mm-hmm. And that's something that really struck me, that it's so hard to find out. And the second thing is, nobody knew around her that she was a bully because she was playing the right roles in school and at home.
That's what I'm saying. When I talked about secret bullying,
right.
That's part of it, where what you see outside, some kids, they just put that facade that, oh my God, I would really want a child like you, 10 of you in my class,
mm-hmm.
because you're just an amazing, you follow the rules, you do everything you're supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
and then, but they don't know what's going on in the yard, they don't know what's going on, you know, outside the school.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the examples. And also, I just wanted to let people know that there is a movie called Krissa. It's an American, all-American girl movie, classic. You can get it from the library. Mm-hmm. This is for elementary school.
How do you spell the word?
I think it's Krissa.
Okay.
It's a very good movie about bullying, about elementary school girls.
Mm-hmm.
And also for middle school, I would say, this is of course because another movie called The Click, that again
C-L-I-Q-U-E.
Yeah, the C-L-I-Q-U-E.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the older ones, the high school, there are many of them these mm-hmm. days. But I think the one that comes to me is The Mean Girls.
Right.
So this is all about how when a child comes into the school, like we had that caller, how is it if a new child comes to the school? And like we had this, the marriage and family therapist calling in right now that I was also a bully. You can just see those instances, how the behavior are very similar.
Now, in her case, she was a girl, but her actions were physical.
Right.
However, is there actually a difference in the way girls bully and boys bully?